Let me give you this, or let me review this earthly illustration of a heavenly truth that he gave us last week. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. God is returning for his wife, and that would be us. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, you there? Yeah. All right, look at verse 24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what, saints? In everything. Sister Clytus, you're lining up. you're hearing the Bible talking. You're lining up, Sister Clytus. Amen. See, we're subject to Christ in what, saints? Everything. No, I don't want to be, Lord, I don't want to be subject to you in this thing or that thing. No, we're subject to him in everything. Let me show you why. Y'all want to see why we're subject to him in everything? All right, look at verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And what? Gave himself for it. See, man of God, love is an action word. Amen. God didn't just say, I love you. He didn't just say, I love you. No, he died for us. Yes. Amen. He showed us that he loved us. That's an action word. Amen. You know what your wife should feel like, man of God? It says, husband, love your wives even as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. You know how your wife should feel? Man of God, your wife should feel that you will die for her. That's how she should feel about you. Your wife should feel about you that you would lay down your life for her. Get that in your spirit, man of God. Amen. See, if she feels that way about you, then you'll get what's in verse 24. She will submit herself to you in everything. Please hear me. If your wife feels like this man loves me, he will die for me, he will lay his life down for me, she will submit to you in everything. Lord, have mercy. We can't help but love God, saints. Why? Because he died for us. We can't help but love him. Amen? Amen. We want to do his will, saints, because he died for us. Amen. Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the water, with the washing of water by the word. So let me break that one down. So Jesus died for us, right? That he might sanctify us. What does that mean? Set us aside for his use. He wants to sanctify. That's why he died. He connected us back to the Father. Amen. Amen. And it says, and cleanse. What is that? Cleanse. That's equal. That means to remove the reproach off of us. See, when we came to Christ, when we was in our flesh, we had so much reproach on us. We was a mess. Huh? But he gave his life to get that off of us. Amen. It says, so he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. How does he do it? By the word, saints. Amen. He gets the reproach off of us, saints, but he loves them, and we have to love them with a purifying love. Do you hear me? It cleanses. The purifying love cleanses, saints. See, it's a divine love. It's not, it don't simply condemn people in wrong. Amen. But it seeks to cleanse them from it. Get rid of it. Not condemn you, but get rid of it. Get the reproach off of you and cleanse you. Wash you. Amen. Amen. Listen to me, saints of God. Christ's great love for his church doesn't allow him to be content with any sin in our life. Amen. Or any moral or spiritual impurity. He loves us. He's coming back for a bride. How? Without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. That's the love he has for us. Look at verse 27. It says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy saints and what? Perfect. So that's why you see him doing all this purging in these churches right now. Amen. He's putting things in order. The husband and the wife should be together on one accord. He's putting things together in his house because he's getting ready to come back. Amen. Oh, I hope y'all catch this one. Get this in your spirit, please. Listen to me, saints. We must allow God to purge us and not get angry at him. See, sometimes when we get corrected, we get mad. I'm mad. Why? Because we want to do whatever we want to do, right? Amen. But the scripture says, when does judgment begin? Where does that begin, saints? In the house of God. He don't start judging the world. He want to get us right. His bride right. Amen? You got to hear me. Look, let me show that. Turn to 1 Peter real quick, chapter 4. Look at verse 17, saints. It said, For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You are hearing that one, saints. See, God is starting with his own people. He's correcting us. Amen. So the scripture is saying, if it starts with us, what's going to be the fate of them that refuse to obey God's gospel? What's going to be their fate if he's starting cleansing us? That's what that scripture is saying. Amen. Amen. Remember last week I told you all what I saw on the news. Amen. What's going on in that Catholic church? Have y'all been checking it out? Huh? God is pulling the cover off of them. Exposing those pedophiles hiding in there, posing as priests and molesting kids. That's going to be over. Amen. He's cleaning his house up right now. Why? Because he's ready to return. Oh, you got to get this, saints of God. He's preparing for his return, saints. We got to be right, saints, and make sure we're in God's will. Amen. Many of the promises in God's words are conditional, saints. You remember I said that last week? Many of these promises in this book are conditional promises. If you do this, then I will do that. That's what God is saying. Amen. What's the greatest one? Jesus was telling his disciples this in a parable. And he said, if you don't get this parable, you ain't going to get none of them. I can't teach you a thing. Amen. What was that parable? Whatever you reap, you will sow that. Huh? It's conditional. What you put out, come on, is what you're going to get back. Amen. This word is so conditional. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So many great promises in the word of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians real quick for me, chapter 7. The word of God and all these promises are conditional, saints. 2 Corinthians 7, look at verse 1. It says it like this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. How, saints? In the fear of God. We perfect our holiness in the fear of the reverence, the respect that we have for the Lord, the honor that we have for him. We are in awe of you, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's how you perfect the holiness, in the fear of God. Amen. That's doing it God's way. He said, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. He wants us to be perfect. Amen. Said, how can we be perfect? You can't. In your flesh, you can forget about that. But in him, oh, you can be perfect. See, Jesus said it like this. He said, I and my Father are one. He's in me and I'm in him. What is that? Everything. Please know that. When you're in him and he in you, that's everything. Huh? It don't get no better than that. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. God is cleaning up his house. Amen. You all want a powerful revelation? Who come for revelation? I do. I love it when the Lord just reveals something to me that I just didn't know. I might have been looking at it, but when God said it to me, I'm going to give you all this powerful revelation. I was in my early morning prayer this morning, right? Minding my own business, just praying for you all, you know, and the Lord began to speak to me. Amen. You know what he said to me? This is sneaking in his house, and he was angry. People want to come and just hear the word, and that's it. I said that people just want to come and hear God's word, and that's it. Amen. I don't want to do anything in God's house. I just want to sit and hear the word. That's what I want to do. Are you hearing me? And God was upset. I'm praying, man, in my own business. Thank you, Lord Jesus, to show me the spirit that's sneaking right back in his house as he's trying to clean it. Amen. That's foolishness to God, saints. And it's foolishness that gives you a false sense of security. Amen. When you have a mindset like that, you're fooling your own self. You're sitting there fooling your own self. Amen. I don't want to do anything for God. I just want to hear his word. Amen. He showed me this so clearly. That's not pleasing to God, saints. He wants to use you for his glory. Amen. God wants to use, he's blessed you to do what? Be a blessing. He didn't bless you just to bless you for nothing. He's putting these blessings on you so you can be a blessing. And if you don't want to be a blessing in his house, what are you doing out there? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah to you, Lord. You're fooling your own self in that mindset. Imagine we're the bride of Christ, right? Brothers, I want you to imagine this. Your wife just wants to be married to you. She doesn't want to help you. She don't want to do anything. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be married to you. How you feel about that, brothers? The Lord showed me this so clearly. He broke me down. He broke me down this morning, saints of God. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. He wants to use us mightily for his glory. And your mindset is, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit. What is that? Lord have mercy. Let me show you to you in the spirit. You all want to see it in the spirit? What if God just listened to your prayers and that was it? I just want to hear it. I just want to hear the prayers. And then he don't do nothing. What is that? I just want to be a hearer of the word. That's it. How foolish is that? Lord, thank you for showing me this. Thank you, Lord. I want God to hear the prayers and answer them. When we pray for baby Aiden, I want to be assured that our Lord hears the prayer and answers it. Amen. Amen. He's not just a hearer only. I don't want to do nothing but just sit. That, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and doing. If that was the way it was, if God just heard us and that was it, we wouldn't serve him, would we? He would be false, a waste of time. We would be deceiving our own selves. Am I right about it, saints? We are blessed to do what? You should never have a problem being a blessing to God's people, ever. And when you bless us, we don't want attitude either. I'm doing this. I'm just going to do this. Now, God loves a happy, hilarious, cheerful giver. Amen. Amen. We're getting that spirit out of this church. Amen. Amen. It's got to go. God is cleaning his house. Amen. Amen. And using it for his glory. I want my prayers to be answered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I gave it to you in the spirit, right? Now let me just straight give it to you in the word of God. You ready? Okay, let me show it to you in the scriptures. What you look like to God when you just want to hear the word only. Turn to James chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. James chapter 1, saints. Look at verse 16. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Amen. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Amen? Amen. He says, hear it quickly, slow to speak it, and don't get angry easy. Amen? Amen. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluousness of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Look at verse 22. "But be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only." Because when you do that, what you're doing? You're deceiving your own self. You're sitting here fooling yourself. It's a false sense of security. It's an act. You're playing church. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Just wasted. You're just wasting time. I just want to hear it only. You're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time. He wants to use you for his glory. He's speaking to you so he can use you. He's not speaking to you, laying all this revelation out for you to just go and, "I'll be back to hear you next week." Praise God. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? Doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah, Lord. Beloved, listen to me. Listen to me, saints of God. Allow God to correct you, to renew a right spirit in you. Amen. We want to be doers and not just hearers only. Amen. That's the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Lord, have your way with your church, Lord, your bride. Not my will, Father, but your will be done in us, Lord. We want our prayers answered, Father. Amen. I just wanted to share that revelation with you all. Amen. You say you like revelation. I love it. Huh? I'm just minding my own business, and God just dropped that on me. He made it plain. Amen. All right, let me give you all the word God gave for you all today. That was a bonus. Amen. You all know I love to serve all the meal, right? We fine dining right now, right? We got to have hors d'oeuvres. We got to have salad. We need it all, right? Man of God, I'm going to feed you good. Amen. You're going to eat good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a beautiful thing to live for Christ, isn't it, really? Come on, y'all. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Life in Christ is just full of grace and mercy and humility. Keeps us humble. We got to be humble to serve him, saints. Amen. Soon as you rise up in your own self, in your own selfishness, he can't use you. Amen. I just want to do what I want to do. That's the devil. We're getting him out of here. The devil just want to do, I want to be God. I want to sit on the throne. Get out of here. Satan, you a lie. The devil is a lie. What you say this morning, the blood of Jesus is against you. Who said that, Mr. Helena? The blood of Jesus, the word of God, all that stuff is against you. Hallelujah. But you know why we really love serving him? Because whether it be the good times or the bad times, in Christ, guess what? We're still in a good place. Amen. I don't care what's going on. Amen. Amen. If you're in Christ, you're in a good place. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Paul said it like this. Let me give it to you from the script. Paul said, for me to live in Christ, for me to live is Christ. That's what he said, right? And to die is gain. What is he saying, saints of God? I'm in a good place no matter what happens. That's what he's saying. I'm in a good place no matter what happens. To live is Christ. That's to win souls, to encourage, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. That's to live. That's a good place. Amen. To die is to be with God forever. Amen. To die in Christ is to be with him forever. That's gain. That's not losing. Huh? Paul is saying my life will glorify God and my death will also glorify God. I can't lose. Amen. In Christ, there is no losing, saints, ever. It's a win-win situation. Amen. We love God. There's no losing in him. Amen. I don't care what the battle look like, saints. If the battle look like you losing and you in Christ, believe me, you're not losing. Because he's going to give you what you want in that situation or what, saints? Or something better. How often? Every time. Every time. Amen. And you know what's even more beautiful? Nothing can separate us from that. The life I'm talking about in Christ, nothing can separate us from it. Amen. And that's exciting to me. Let's look at Romans. Let me show you something. Let me show you how deep our God is. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start reading at verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That's the question. Is any of that going to separate us from the love of Christ? Well, it says this in 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What are we in him? Nope. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Woo, Lord, what's more than a conqueror? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no losing in Christ, saints, ever. Ever. Amen. And nothing can separate us from that. Huh? There's nothing that can come in that can separate us from what, from the love of Christ. Huh? Nothing. Amen. It's a win-win situation, saints of God. I wanna just share this piece right here on why we love God so much. You all say, you proved that already, man of God. No, there's more. There's more. Amen. But you know what's more important? Why God loves us so much. So first of all, we know we love him. Why? Because he died for us. Is that the main reason? He gave his life. We can't help but love him for that, right? Because to lay down your life for it is the ultimate sacrifice. Is it not? So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us. But people who don't know God have doubts, especially when bad things happen. They say things like, if it's a God, why did God allow this thing to happen or that thing to happen? Don't we hear that? And you know why that he allows this or that to happen? Because it's love. It goes right back to love. God is love, saints of God. God is love. Amen. So if you don't understand love, you will never understand God. Huh? Love gives free will and choices. That's what love does. Amen. God gave us a free will to choose. Amen. Then he encouraged us with our free will. Choose me. God said, just choose me. That's the first thing you need to do is choose me. Amen. We can choose anything we want to choose. He gave us free will to choose. But he tells us to choose him. See, if he didn't love us, saints of God, he would puppet us and control us. Huh? Puppet us. I'm going to get in you and make you do whatever I want you to do. I'm against your will. Huh? See, when we choose him, we want him to get in us and do whatever he wants to do because we know it's going to be awesome whatever he does in us. But he ain't going to do that against your will. You have to ask him, Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I repent of my sins, Lord. Come into, change, the king's heart is in your hand, Lord. Turn it however you want. You got to ask him to do that. He just ain't going to do that. Amen. Because he loves you. He gave you a free choice. Have you heard this saying before, saints? If you love him, let him go. Huh? It's a song going. If you love somebody, let them go. Y'all heard that song? Huh? Listen, sometimes a man and a woman can be so in love, saints. You hear me? But one of them is not ready to commit. And the other one is not ready to let him go. Amen. But the saying says you got to let him go. Amen. And if they really love you, guess what will happen? They're going to come back. And if they don't come back, it wasn't love at all. Amen. God gave us free will to make a choice, saints, and we can choose any path we like. But he did give us an owner's manual to help us with our choices. That's this word right here, this Bible. Amen. But we have to have a heart for God, saints. God wants all of our heart. I heard somebody say that today in the prayer. He wants all of our heart. He can't deal with just half in, half out. Amen. Huh? Serving two masters. That can't work with him. He wants all of our heart. Amen. How much of our heart does God want, saints? All of it. Amen. Jesus brought us that grace and truth, didn't he? Moses brought the law to us, right? But Jesus brought us grace and truth. And God is full of grace and mercy, saints. And we need that same grace and mercy to navigate through this life. Amen. I want to look, I want to show you what it looks like in man. Amen. Let's look at David real quick. We're going to wrap this up. Let's look at David. And the reason I want to look at David is because he was a man after God's own heart. Right? Is that what the Bible says? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. David was a man after God's own heart. How much of our heart does God want? All of it. He wants, we want to be a man or woman after God's own heart. Amen. 1 Samuel 24, look at verse 1. It says, And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Am I pronouncing that right? Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. So Saul was chasing David around. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart, right? But Saul was chasing him around, right? Wanting to kill him. Why did Saul want to kill David? That's the question. You all know why Saul wanted to kill David? He was jealous. God anointed David to be the king because he wanted a man after his own heart. What does that mean? You know what he wanted a man to do? Obey him. Saul wanted to do his way. Amen. Like many of us, we want to do it our way. Amen. And God took the anointing off of him, put it on David. Amen. That's the story I'm about to read you now, but I think I'm going to break it down to you. So David caught Saul sleeping. He was in a cave sleep. Amen. And David's men say, we got your enemy now. We got him. He caught up. He in there sleep. And David goes into the cave and just cuts his skirt off. He didn't kill him. He could have killed him. But David was saying, I will not touch God's anointed. Amen. He said he's not going to kill him. Amen. But in all actuality, he could have killed him. Because he wasn't God's anointed. He had been anointed by God. But you know who really wanted Saul anointed? The people. God didn't want to anoint him anyway. But the people wanted a king. So God anointed. See, men look at the outward appearance. So he took this big, huge man that was looking all good and he gave him to the people. But he didn't want to obey God. See, saints of God, we want to obey God. We want to do it his way. We want to do what he tells us to do. I don't want to lose my anointing. Amen. I pray this prayer to God. Lord, please don't take your anointing. I don't want to lose that. I want to do it your way. I don't want to do it what it looks like is right to men. Amen. Amen. And so that's what happened with Saul. He told Saul to do some things. Saul did it his way. So he took the anointing outside Saul because he wanted a man after his own heart and put it on David. But this is what I want to show you. That's not the punchline. You know what the punchline is? Even though David could kill Saul, he didn't. Why didn't he kill him? Because David was full of grace and mercy. Did y'all hear what I just said? I said, God is full of grace and mercy. That's why he didn't kill him. Amen. He wants us to be full of grace and mercy. Amen. That's God. Amen. All right, I'm going to read you all this last thing, and we're going to wrap this up. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. This is what I want you to look at, saints. Turn to Psalms chapter 136. We're talking about David. David wrote the Psalms, right? He wrote many of the Psalms. This 136 he wrote, right? And it's a scripture that says, whatever's in your heart, how much of our heart do God want? All of it, right? Whatever's in your heart, guess what happens? It comes out of your mouth. Y'all know when we in the street and we talking to folks. After about 15 minutes, we know, oh, this person's not saved. Why? How do we know that? By what they talking about. Oh, this person needs Christ. And the first opportunity I get, I'm going to introduce them. That's what I be thinking. Let me just hear this. And then the first opportunity I get, I'm going to introduce them to Christ. And let them know, oh, man, that's crazy thinking right there. Huh? We can know it by what comes out of their mouth. Huh? The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. I'm saying David was a man after God's own heart. That's what the scripture says, right? So let's see what's coming out of his mouth. That's how we can tell, right? Y'all at Psalms 136? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here we go. Look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth. To whom who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth. It looks like what's in David's heart is coming out of his mouth. All he's talking about is the great things that God does and how his mercy endures forever. Amen. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. To the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched forth arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. That's why we don't lose battles. You see what God will do for your enemies? He just straight overthrew Pharaoh. Pharaoh, he told Moses, go let him know, let my people go. Let him go. God wants his people to be free, right? And then Pharaoh, no, I ain't going to let him go. Who overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. We talking about a merciful God. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth, how long, saints? Forever. And have redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Why, saints? Because his mercy endures forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for grace and mercy today, Lord, and giving us strong instruction, Lord, on how to please you, Lord, how to serve you, Lord, how you want to use us for your glory, Lord. We rebuke any spirit that's going to come against not doing it your way, Father. We want to serve you in gladness, Father, in spirit and in truth, Lord. We are true worshipers, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Life in you is exciting, Lord. It's a win-win situation in you. There's no losing in you, and nothing can separate us from you. Oh, hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord.